We're going to look in the Bible at Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3 this morning, and we'll get to that scripture passage to start us off this morning, Hebrews chapter number 3. I felt like God had laid on my heart a message today that I thought could be an encouragement for us as we enter into this week of Thanksgiving. And you'll see which direction I'm going here in just a minute when we read from Hebrews chapter 3. Now, Hebrews 3 will not be the only passage that we look at this morning, so keep your Bible nearby you there as we go through the message. But Hebrews chapter number 3, and I want us to notice verse number 1, and look at what the Bible says here in Hebrews 3 verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." I want to put an emphasis on some words here as we go through this. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider." Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. This morning, I want us to consider Christ. I want us to consider Christ. At this time of Thanksgiving, let's consider Christ. Let's consider all that He is, all that He has done for us, and what He has blessed us with. We have a lot to be thankful for. I know we've already said that. We have a lot to be thankful for. But the greatest thing that we could ever express that we have to be grateful for is what Christ Jesus did for us. When He left the glories of heaven and He died on the cross and He provided for us the opportunity to be saved. He provides the opportunity for everyone to come and trust Christ as their Savior. And so today, for just a few moments from Hebrews chapter number 3 and some other passages that we're going to look at, I want us to consider Christ. I want us to consider who He is again and what He's done for us and the many ways in which He has blessed us and all that we have to be grateful for. The book of Hebrews is very unique. The book of Hebrews is a book that describes to us the superiority of Jesus Christ. As you go through the book of Hebrews, you find that Jesus is greater. Jesus is superior. And as we go through the book of Hebrews again, we see the superiority of Jesus Christ. But also the book is devoted to helping Christians consider Jesus, so that we as Christians can be reminded of all that we have to consider about Jesus. Consider Him again and again. Consider Him over and over. Consider Him on a daily basis. Again, I know we're at such a time in the year where we're expressing our thankfulness and our gratitude for all that we have and all that we've been blessed with. And maybe at your opportunity that you have with your family at home this time for Thanksgiving, you can express thanks for all that God has done for you. I know it's been a practice of ours to kind of go around even before you pray for that Thanksgiving meal and just say, what is it that you have to be thankful for? Now, the list that we have to be grateful for and thankful for would consume so much time, there's no way we could express it all, could we? You think of that song, "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One." Well, we'd be all day, wouldn't we? As we count our blessings. So we mentioned a few things that we have to be grateful for. As a matter of fact, my wife on Wednesday night, she helps over there in the service in our youth focus service. And she asked the young people to come up with a little art thing that they did where they expressed some things that they were thankful for. And we put them up on the wall over there so that anyone passes over in the fellowship hall can be able to see the different things that they have to be grateful for. And she allowed them to express themselves. I think it was 5 or 6 things maybe. Some things that they have to be grateful for. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? And we can consider Christ. We can consider all that He has done for us and how good He is to us. And we can consider Him again and again. Again, not just this time of year, but on a daily basis, considering all that God has done for us. Would you agree with me if I were to say the statement that we have more to consider about Jesus than we could exhaust in a lifetime? We have more to consider about Christ and about our Savior than we could exhaust if we were to do it every single day, every moment of every day, for our entire lifetime. And so let's take some of the words here in Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 1, and let's notice what we can consider about Christ. The first thing we want to notice is the very first word in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter number 3. Notice it says this in verse number 1. It uses the word "wherefore." The word wherefore. Now, we don't want to pass over any word in the Bible because all of the words have such importance. But there is a reason why we are hearing what we are hearing in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. There's a reason why the people are being told to consider Christ Jesus. There's a reason for this. And so that's where the wherefore comes in, because it relates to what has already been said in Hebrews chapter number 1 and Hebrews chapter 2, maybe more specifically Hebrews chapter number 2. Matter of fact, if you would, take time to turn back to Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 1, and let's see what that wherefore is there for. Let's see why it's there. Let's see why that word is so important. It helps us to understand something. It relates to something that Paul mentions here, or the writer of Hebrews mentions here in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 1. It says therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now notice this, and by the way, what is it that we have heard? Well, we've heard about Christ, haven't we? And as a result of hearing about Christ, we've heard the good news of the gospel, haven't we? I was expressing that to our girls the other day. We were in the car, and we were listening to a song that came across this video that the girls had that was playing in the car as we were driving down the road. And the song came up, Everybody Ought to Know. Anybody know that song? Everybody ought to know. And then it says at the end, Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And one of my girls spoke up and they said, Dad, they said, what does it mean that everybody ought to know? And I said, well, that's an interesting question. I said, what that song is trying to tell us is that everyone should know about Jesus. Everyone should have the opportunity to hear how good He is. Now, there are some that haven't heard about Jesus. There are some that would not be able to consider Christ because they don't know about Him. And that's where our task comes in, doesn't it? To share the good news of Christ and what He's done for us. We could consider Christ. And He says, there are some things that He says you've heard. Aren't you thankful for the day you heard the gospel? Aren't you thankful that you know about Jesus? And there was a time, we could all give testimony of different circumstances in our lives, but for me, there was a time when a preacher very boldly preached the gospel. And I was able to hear it, and God was beginning to speak to my heart. We've had opportunities before, some folks even here in our church, and then others maybe outside of the trips that we have taken. I'm thinking specifically about some trips that we have taken to different places. For instance, we've gone to Costa Rica several times. Some folks in our church have joined us there. We came across a group of boys one time, myself and another one that was there on the trip with us. We came across a group of boys one time that were sitting there, they were outside in the field and they were playing soccer. And we had some gospel tracts and we started handing those gospel tracts out as we were taking a break from playing soccer. And remember, one of the boys who spoke Spanish, so I didn't understand exactly what he was saying, but the missionary came over and he started talking to them. And he said that they were reading through the gospel tracts, and one of them spoke up and he said, I've never heard this before. I never heard about Jesus. He said, I've never heard this message here that is written in this little pamphlet that you've given out. There are some that have never heard, but aren't you thankful you've heard? Aren't you thankful the message was delivered to you, and aren't you thankful you were able to respond to that message? We either respond and we say yes to God, or we reject Him and we say no, but aren't you thankful for the opportunity you've had to hear the gospel? But look at what he says. He says, you've heard about Christ. You've heard the gospel. And he says, but let's make sure we give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now notice the end of the verse. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Here's what the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying. He said, there's a danger in that we will get to a point where we could stop considering Jesus. That would be a dangerous place to be in, wouldn't it? Where we would let those things that we know are true about Jesus slip. We would stop considering Jesus. We would become more interested in other things. We would have the temptation of forsaking Him and His Word and His will. Now we believe that to be true. Christians even getting to the place where they've forsaken what they know to be true about Jesus. Where they've forsaken following Him. Where they've forsaken His Word, where they've forsaken even His will for their lives. So he's saying in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1, wherefore, he's letting us know there's a danger in the fact that you could come to a point where you stop considering Jesus. So wherefore, I want to encourage you to consider Jesus. Notice the word consider there. Now, we've looked at the word wherefore, but now let's go a little bit further in the verse. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, he's speaking to us as Christians, isn't he? Partakers of the heavenly calling. One day we're going to be called home to be with the Lord, aren't we? Notice what he says, consider. Consider. Now, we've got to pause at that word because it has a meaning that we have to make sure that we understand. The word consider there in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter number 3 has the idea of to fix the mind on. To fix the mind on. Now think about things in life that we take the time to carefully consider. If you're sitting out there today and you've attended college, maybe you've attended college all the way through and you have a degree from a particular college you went to, you carefully considered the college you were going to study at, didn't you? It wasn't just something that all of a sudden, spur of the moment, you just went on a whim, although maybe perhaps that could happen, I guess, but we carefully consider those things, don't we? These guys that are sitting here in the middle, they're coming to a point in which they're going to have to consider things like that, aren't they? What college perhaps God would have them to go to, and we could make the statement that obviously college is not for everyone, but that would be a decision, though, a life decision, though, that we would say we would carefully consider, wouldn't we? Think about who you're going to marry. That's a decision that we would say we would carefully consider. We would hopefully not just run into that, right? We would say, I'm going to carefully consider who I'm going to marry. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this person. And so I better carefully consider this important life decision that I'm about to make. Husbands and wives, they carefully consider children in a marriage relationship, don't they? Hey, is this something we feel like as Christians now, we would say it this way, is this something we feel like God would have us to do, to have children and to be able to raise children? Is this something we feel like God would have us to do? So we're going to carefully consider that. Maybe we would say that about a big purchase that we've made. We've carefully considered this purchase that we're going to now make. We're going to pursue, whether it be a house that maybe we've purchased or maybe an expensive vehicle that we've purchased. We've said, this is something I'm going to carefully consider. But can I encourage you, we're to carefully consider Christ, the writer of Hebrews says. We're to fix our mind on Him. When we fix our mind on Him, here's what we find out about Him. We find out that He's all-sufficient, don't we? When we carefully consider Jesus, when we fix our mind on Him, we find out that He is all-sufficient. He is all we need for those who need to come to Christ for salvation. Consider Jesus. For those who perhaps have doubts about their salvation and just need assurance, we can consider Jesus. For those who have gotten to a place in their life where they wonder if a sin that they have committed is too great, is too magnified in the eyes of God to even be forgiven, consider Jesus. Maybe there's someone perhaps today who's gotten to a place where they're weary, where they're close to giving up. Consider Jesus. We either consider Jesus today or we consider ourselves, don't we? We're either considering Christ or we're considering ourselves. When we consider ourselves, we end up fixing our mind on our problems, don't we? Instead of the one who can solve all of life's problems. We consider Christ or we consider ourselves, but when we consider ourselves, we fix our mind on our problems. And when we're fixing our mind on our problems, we become unhappy, we become worried, we become restless. We become without peace and discouraged, leading to even a life of complaining instead of finding gratitude. Here's what I want us to notice about the word consider. Would you look back at Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1? This is something very important for you to remember. In the Greek, this is written in the imperative. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, he says, consider. In the Greek, when it's written in the imperative, what we mean by that is this. It's a command. It's a command. This is not an option for us today as Christians. He has commanded us to consider Jesus. We must. That's what a command is, right? We must bring our focus on Jesus. How do we do that? Well, we meditate on His Word, don't we? We spend time in His Word and we meditate on His Word so that we can know Him fully, so that we can understand His purpose and we can understand His work in our lives. We get to a point as we're considering Christ where we worship Him and we treasure Him and we serve Him and we're satisfied with Him and Him alone. So the writer of the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1, he said, there's a reason why I want you to consider Him. And then he said, then God says, I give you a command to consider Christ. But then notice how he describes Christ. In verse number 1, notice he gives two definitions or two ways to describe Christ, the roles that Christ has. Look, he says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly covenant, consider, number 1, the apostle. The apostle. Jesus mentioned as the apostle. What is his role or what is his duty as an apostle? Well, he speaks to us from God. He speaks to us from God, similar to how we would use the word prophet. In the Old Testament, we would use the word prophet to describe somebody who would speak to a person from God. So Jesus pleads the cause of God with us. God has a cause for our life. He has a plan for our life. And Jesus pleads the cause of God with us. The word apostle is one way we would describe or to give a definition of the word apostle is one who is sent. Jesus meets that definition, doesn't he? He is the one who was sent from God to earth. We need to consider Jesus as the apostle. But then notice there's another role that Jesus plays here in verse number 1. It says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. High priest is another role that Jesus has. And what we mean when we say that Jesus is a high priest, he speaks for us to God. So as the apostle, he speaks to us from God, but as our high priest, he speaks for us to God. So he pleads our cause with God. Aren't you glad you have a mediator? The mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He is our high priest, and he pleads our cause with God. What would we give as a definition when we think of the high priest, especially in the Old Testament of our Bibles? We would think that that was one who was a go-between. That's exactly what Jesus is. He offered as a go-between a sacrifice so there could be reconciliation, so that the sin that brought distance between us and God could be brought together again and we could have reconciliation. So in the two roles that God has here that's mentioned in verse number 1, in the two roles that God has, that Jesus has, Christ, he meets the two roles or he meets the two needs that we have. In his two roles, he meets the two needs that we have. We have a need on earth, and one of the needs that we have is we need a word from God. He gives us a word from God, doesn't he? And then the second need that we have that he meets is we need a way to God, don't we? So we need a word from God, and God and Jesus delivers that word from God. And we need a way to God. And Jesus provided for us a way to God. So we're to fix our mind, and we're to fix our focus on Jesus. Whatever the circumstances we face, we could give a couple of illustrations of this, one in a negative way, one in a positive way. Think about Peter when Peter decided to ask Jesus if he would have permission to call him out and walk on the water. Remember the one thing that Peter did that caused him to sink in that water? When he took his focus, when he took his eyes off of Jesus. Whatever our circumstance is that we go through in life, keep our focus, keep our mind, keep our eyes on Jesus. Consider Christ. There's another illustration we could give, and really all throughout the Bible we could give illustrations of this, but the example of Paul. If you would go through the book of 2 Corinthians, now we don't have time to do it, but if you would go through the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians would tell us over and over, verse after verse, would tell us of the persecution that Paul went through, the trials that he faced, the shipwrecks and the beatings and the imprisonments that he faced. Can I say this about the persecution that Paul went through? It would have caused many a Christian to lose their focus on God. You think of the things that we go through today, really minor compared to the persecution that Paul faced in his earthly ministry. But can I remind you, if you would turn back in your Bibles, we're not going to do it right now, but if you would turn back in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 9, what happens in Acts chapter 9? Saul is converted on the road to Damascus, isn't he? And one of the things that Jesus, God tells him as soon as he's converted is, Paul, you're going to go through some suffering. You're going to have some times where you're going to face suffering, but I've called you to do a great work. And as you go through that suffering, you bear in mind that I'm there with you. You bear in mind that when you consider Christ, He is always there to be with you, and He is all sufficient, isn't He? So when Paul went through those times of persecution and trials that he faced that would have caused many to lose focus, he realized that God called him, and God was going before him or ahead of him. He had already been where Paul was about to go, and Jesus, God, Christ, was going to be with him every step of the way. So can I finish this message this morning by asking us to consider three things about Christ this morning? Would you consider Christ, number one, would you consider the Creator Christ? Would you consider the Creator Christ? I want us to turn back in our Bibles to the book of Psalm, and I want us to look at Psalm 8, and I want us to look down at verse number 3. Psalm 8 and down to verse number 3, I want us to consider the Creator Christ. Notice what the Bible says. We'll actually start reading in verse number 1 of Psalm 8. It says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Notice what's to be considered. Notice verse 3, when I consider. Notice what the psalmist considers. When I fix my eyes on this. He says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Then he goes on to even say, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? After I look at all the things that you have created, and God sees us, God sees man as his most special creation, doesn't he? The most special creation above all other creations, all other things that he has created. Why? Because man is created in the image of God. We think about each of us being created in the image of God and how that we're God's most special creation. We're created in the image of God. We have a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere, don't we? But the psalmist says, oh God, that I could consider all the things that you have created. The psalmist helps us as we consider the Creator Christ. He helps us to get a picture of the wisdom and power and the goodness of the Creator. And how that God took special care and love and concern for everything He created, and above all, the creation that He made of you and I. Let's consider the Creator Christ. But number two, can I ask you to consider the caring Christ? We'll consider the Creator Christ. We have a lot to be thankful for this time of year, don't we? And one of the things that we can be grateful for is that we consider the Creator Christ, that He's created everything around us, and it shows His power and His wisdom and His love and His handiwork and His goodness. But we also can consider the caring Christ. We have a lot to be thankful for. One of the things we have to be thankful for is that we have a God who cares for us. He cares for us. Notice the truth that He gives us if you would look at Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, and we'll look down starting in verse number 22 of Luke chapter number 12. Luke 22 and verse 12, it says this of Jesus and His care for us. Luke chapter 12, and we'll start down in verse number 22. It says this, and He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. What's He saying there? Don't worry about those things. Let those not be the things that you're worried about. Shouldn't be that we're worrying about what we should eat, what we're going to eat, and what we're going to drink, and what we're going to put on, the clothing that we're going to have for our bodies. God's going to take care of us, isn't He? He's going to provide for us. You know, really, if we would say that that's all that we had, we would have the ability to be very content, wouldn't we? If all we had was our food and our drink and our raiment to wear, we'd have the opportunity to be very content, wouldn't we? But would you not agree with me that God has provided much more than just that? He's provided much more than just the food and the drink that we have and what sustains us that way and our raiment or our covering for our body. He's provided much more for that than that. And that's why he says, don't be worried about it. Notice verse number 23. The life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. Can I have you look at verse 24? What's the first word? Consider. Consider. Now, can I stop here just for a moment to let you realize that the same word that's used in Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse number 1 is the same word consider that's used here. Matter of fact, if we would go down just a little bit further and we would look at verse number 27, which we're going to read all this in just a moment. But verse number 27, what's the very first word? Consider. It's the very same way that the word consider is used in Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Where we talked about consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now you say, why'd you bring that up? Why'd you have to bring that up? Because what was something unique that I said about the word consider in the Greek language? It's imperative, which means it's a command. God commands us to focus our mind on these things. He doesn't give us an option. He says, you're to consider the fact that I will care for you. You're to think about it. You're to fix your mind on it. Be a lot less worrying, wouldn't it? Be a lot less fear. A lot less discouragement. If we just fixed our mind on considering Christ and the fact that he cares for us. Look at what verse number 24 says. Consider the ravens. Not the Baltimore Ravens now. But consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? If the fowls of the air do not sow, and they don't reap, and they don't have storehouses and barns where they can store up things to provide for themselves, and God cares for them, what makes us think, as a human, God's most special creation, that he would not care for us and provide for us? Jesus says in his earthly ministry, as he's speaking to his disciples, he says, consider it. It's a command. Fix your mind on the fact that you serve a caring God. Look at verse number 25. And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? You're not going to add to your stature any size at all because you've worried about it. There's nothing that worry's going to do to help you. So notice what he says, verse 26. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Notice verse 27. Consider. Remember, it's a command now. Consider the lilies. How they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says they don't work, they don't labor for what God has provided for them, and yet how beautiful they are. Yet how God makes it so they're so beautiful to the eye, the lilies of the field, for something they didn't even work for. For something they didn't even have to do anything for. Consider, God says, put your focus on this, that I'm a Christ who cares for you. Notice what he says in verse number 28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Man, the grass that's here and then it's gone. He says, how much more is he going to take care of you? You're lacking the faith that God wants you to have. That's why he commands us to consider. Because he realizes how weak our faith can be at times. How much we worry, how much we fear, how much we're discouraged or even disappointed about things. So he says in verse number 29, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. He understands it, doesn't he? He understands, he realizes what we have need of. By the way, he realizes better than anyone, doesn't he? So why would we not be able to trust him to take care of us? And look at what he says in verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're most familiar with the way that Matthew 6:33 says that, aren't we? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. But he's saying the same thing here, isn't he? Look at verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's saying there in verse number 31, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of you. You seek God. You consider Him and put Him first. And then I'll provide all these other things. What does he mean by all those other things? It doesn't mean necessarily a luxury car. It doesn't necessarily mean a mansion to live in. But it does mean he'll provide your food. He'll provide what you're going to drink. He'll provide what you're going to wear. He's going to take care of you. And he meets our needs far greater than even in those things, doesn't he? Would you look at two more verses here really quickly along this thought of Christ being our caring Christ? Would you look at Ecclesiastes real quickly? Ecclesiastes, what a great book of wisdom here, Ecclesiastes. And notice what Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says. If you find Ecclesiastes there, right after the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And notice what verse number 13 says. Oh, what a great truth about our caring Christ that we serve. Look at verse number 13 of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It says, consider. Consider. Consider what? The work of God. Notice it says in verse number 13, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Here's what Ecclesiastes is trying to tell us. He uses the word there, consider the work of God. So consider now, let's fix our mind. Let's fix our heart. Let's put our focus on this. What are we to consider? The work of Christ. Now that work there, that word work there in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verse number 13 does not mean his creation. We've already talked about his creation, haven't we? But here's what we understand in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. He's not referring to his creation. He's referring to God's providence and God's sovereignty. God is powerful. God is able to do anything. And God is in control of all things, isn't he? And so he's saying, consider the providence of God. Consider the sovereignty of God. And he says at the end of the verse, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Or meaning this way, no man is able to correct or alter any of God's work and any of God's will. Whatever God does, that's what will be done. Whatever God's will is, that's what will be done. So we would say it this way, worrying about it and fearing about it would be then sinful, and it would be vain, and it would be very fruitless. God's saying, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. My work and my will would be done, so don't worry about it. Just consider that you serve a God of providence and you serve a God of sovereignty. But let's look down at verse 14. Because he says in verse 14, really gives a couple thoughts here. He says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Meaning this, enjoy, by the way, a good challenge for us this week. I'll read it again. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Here's the challenge for us this week. Enjoy God's favors in your life cheerfully and thankfully. When God provides for you, be cheerful about it and be thankful to Him. Notice what it says in the next part of the verse, though. But in the day of adversity, consider. In the day of adversity, consider. Submit to God's hand. His hand may not work in your life exactly like you want it to work, but be thankful when He gives you good things and submit to His hand when you might think adversity comes along. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 14. God also hath set the one over against the other. Meaning this, remember, he says, that joy and adversity can come one after the other. Have you ever been in your Christian life in a mountaintop and all of a sudden here comes the valley? And then when the valley ends, you'd say, oh, there comes the mountain again. Isn't it amazing that the Christian life can be that way? Joys and adversities, and they can come one after the other. Someone once said, if you're not in a valley, you're headed in one. If you're in one now, take joy in knowing that God will help you to come out of that valley. But they come one after the other, don't they? But God's still a caring God, isn't He? So just because He brings joy and He brings adversity also, let's still thank God that He's a caring God. He's a God of providence. He's a God of sovereignty. Notice that at the finish of the verse, though, He says, to the end that man should find nothing after him. The idea there is this. We don't know which one is going to come next. We don't know if it's going to be a mountain or if it's going to be a valley. So here's what we ought to do. Here's what we need to do. Since I don't know if a mountaintop or a valley is going to be next, I just got to always depend on God. I got to always depend on Him. No matter what comes my way next, I always depend upon Him. So I don't despair in moments of trouble, but I also don't become ungrateful when He provides for me. God is a caring God. Would you consider that today? But then lastly, the last thing I'd ask you to consider today as we bring our message to a close is what Brother Tom read this morning. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 12, and I want us to consider the crucified Christ. I want us to consider the crucified Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, Brother Tom read it for us, and he did say that many times we do come back to the passages, not always, but most of the time we'll perhaps say what we're or use what we use for scripture reading. And in Hebrews chapter number 12, I want us to consider the crucified Christ. We've considered the Creator Christ. We've considered the God who, the Christ who cares for us, or the caring Christ. Can we finish the message by considering the crucified Christ? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Man, there's a lot to say in this verse. Hey, there's a great group that's already gone before us. There's a great group that we can look back on and say, hey, they're great examples for us. By the way, where do we find their lives? Well, just turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, the great Hall of Faith chapter, where we see the lives of men and women who were great men and women of faith. They're great examples to us, aren't they? He says, so what we need to do is we need to lay aside every weight. Now, that's things that might not necessarily be wrong, but things that would hold us back or pull us down from being all that God wants us to be. But then he does mention sin as well, doesn't he? And the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. That word patience there has the idea of continuing endurance. Man, I'm running with patience the race that is set before me. And by the way, I'm running in my own race. I don't have to try to beat anyone else in their Christian race. I just need to finish mine, don't I? And he says, here's what you have. He says, you have an example. Notice the example you have, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now notice the description of Jesus here. He says he's the author and finisher of our faith. He finished what he started, didn't he? We sing a song sometimes to our girls at home. It's a song that was written by Ron Hamilton, Pat's the Pirate. He says this, finish the job, get it done. Finish the job, then have fun. We tell our girls all the time, you start something, you finish it. Jesus finished the work he started, didn't he? Paul was able to say later, right before he faced martyrdom, he said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. Our duty as Christians in this race we're running in is to finish it. Christ finished it, didn't he? He didn't quit. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died on the cross, didn't he? And notice the description of how he died. It says he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice verse 3, for consider him. Man, let's put our focus on him. Let's fix our eyes on him. Let's fix our mind on him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest, notice this, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Think about the suffering of Christ and his death for us. Now listen, we could go back to Hebrews chapter number 3 for this, couldn't we? I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 2. Because remember, Hebrews chapter number 3 had the word wherefore. What was the word wherefore? Therefore. It was there to remind us that in Hebrews chapter number 2, it's possible to let things slip. Notice what he's saying in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 3. It's possible for us to be weary and faint in our minds. It's possible, isn't it? That's why we got to consider Christ. Do you realize that Jesus Christ is today the answer for any troubled, weary believer? You say, I'm troubled today. Jesus is the answer. Just consider him. Man, I'm a little weary today. Just consider him. How is it that we are able to continue on as Christians? How are we able to run our race with patience? How do we continue on because of Jesus? Consider him. We cannot get to a point in our Christian lives where we're considering Jesus and remain depressed. Now, you can be in a place where you're depressed, maybe perhaps discouraged for a little while, But when you start considering Jesus, you get out of that quick, don't you? We cannot consider Jesus and remain depressed. We can't remain discouraged. We can't remain ungrateful. We can't remain out of His will if we're considering Him. So consider Him, and when you're considering Him, it'll allow you to be more encouraged than discouraged. It'll allow you to be more thankful than ungrateful. When you consider Jesus, it'll help you to be truly happy. You know, as we finish this message, we're not going to give you a Bible verse for this, but one more thing we can consider about Christ. Consider Him as a creator. Consider Him as a caring Christ. Consider Him as the crucified Christ. But isn't it great we have great joy? We sang the song at the end of our song time today. We have great joy in considering the coming Christ as well. He's coming to take us home one day, isn't He? It's our heavenly calling. As a matter of fact, we talked about it in Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 1. We're to consider the One who has allowed us to have a heavenly calling. He's going to call us home one day, isn't He? Hey, this world's not my home. We just sang it, didn't we? I'm just passing through. I can consider the coming Christ. And when things cause me to get a little trouble, when they cause me to get a little weary or discouraged about things or fearful about things, I can consider the fact that He's coming again. I'm rejoicing in the fact that I've got a mansion. He gave me a promise that He will come again. I can look for that blessed hope because Christ is coming again someday. I want to read a little poem to you as we bring our message to an end. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. It says this: when the storm is raging high, when the tempest rends the sky, when my eyes with tears are dim, then my soul, consider Him. When my plans are in the dust, when my dearest hopes are crushed, when is past each foolish whim, then my soul, consider Him. When with dearest friends I part, when deep sorrow fills my heart, when pain racks each weary limb, then my soul, consider Him. When I track my weary way, when fresh trials come each day, when my faith and hope are dim, then my soul, consider Him. Clouds or sunshine, dark or bright, evening shades or morning light, when my cup flows o'er the brim, then my soul, consider Him. Would you consider Christ today? When you consider Him as your Creator, as your caring God, as your coming Christ, as your crucified Christ, you have a lot to be grateful for today, don't you? Let's consider Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and Miss Dawn begins to come to the piano for a hymn of invitation, I'm going to ask you today to